Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's the host, Chris Yano of To The Point Home Services Podcast, along with my co-host, Mr. Tall Paul Redman. My man, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I avoided an insult there. Man, I'm smiling, though, because our guest is like, she's feeling it. Her head's nodding. She liked the intro. She's ready to get to the point. So today's a big day. And I think this is like, I don't know, 73rd, 4th, 5th episode, something like that. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time that our guest said, you know what? I don't need to run through the questions ahead of time. I'm ready to roll. Just put me. I'm on the record. Like you say, Chris, I'm on the record.
I live on the record. Well, what's interesting is we were just talking about this pre-podcast was, anytime we've ever been to New York City, like when we go to Vayner or wherever, I swear, like we always hear the sirens. And sure enough, I just heard sirens in the background.
That's what we wanted. That's what we wanted.
So quickly, actually, our guest, I'll do the introduction and then I'm going to get into some more details about our guest. But I want to go ahead and introduce Judalyn Cassidy, who is the CVO, Chief Visionary Officer. Is that correct?
Yeah,
I get it right?
I like what you said. Yeah, you said it awesome.
That's right. Tools and Terras Inc., which I can't wait to get into. Also the host of Tradeswoman Talk podcast, along with Andrea, who's a cement mason, who you met on so job good. X amount of years ago, 20 some odd years ago, I think it was. So shout out to her if she listens to this. Welcome to the podcast. We're excited to have you on.
Oh, thanks for having me. You guys seem to be a lot of fun, so I'm excited to chat with fellow podcasters.
Well, I'm a lot of fun. Paul's
that's
like
what
a,
I was
going
to say, Chris, and you stole it. I'm more fun. But no, also, I want to give a shout out to Julian from Nexstar, CEO of Nexstar. So Julian referred you to us. When I talked to him, prior to him coming on our podcast, he said, hey, before you talk to me, this is who you need to talk to. So shout out to him for recognizing what you're doing and the impact that you're having in the industry. So shout out.
Yeah. Shout out to Julian. I call him the general of awesomeness. He's an awesome brother.
He's
love
good.
That
he
guy.
Really is. So I want to go back for just a second before we get too deep into it, because I know you've spent a lot of years in the plumbing industry, and we'll get to all that stuff too, but let's go back even further than that. Now, you're originally a native from Trinidad and Tobago, right, in the Caribbean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. I'm from Trinidad and Tobago.
So next to you, who's another super popular person that is from there? Do you know? Who's like most popular?
Nicki Minaj is from there. A lot of people know. A lot of people know her from there. But we have a lot of famous people. A lot of Miss Universe, Miss World, Olympians. So there's a lot of famous people. There's also, I'm not into rap so much, but there's a guy called 2 Chainz. You know, he's from there.
Oh, I did not know that.
There's a lot of people from Georgia.
Well, you're forgetting someone really important. Really important. Producer Kyle, you probably never even heard of this guy, but I bet you've heard his songs. Guy sings a song called Caribbean Queen.
Billy Ocean.
That's right.
Yes. I forgot about because he left so long ago. He has the most magical voice, but he just fell off the map, Mr. Ocean. Yeah.
Billy Ocean. Kyle, have you ever heard that song before? No. I probably could have sang it a little bit better. You know, I didn't do a vocal warm-up, so probably would have been.
You did a good job.
How did we make it on vacation last week, Chris, without singing that song or playing that song?
I don't know.
That's a failure.
I don't know, but we did. Hey, Judalyn, I saw a video of you, and I can't remember which website it was on I was looking at, of you on the Drew Barrymore show talking, learning how to, teaching her how to change a flapper in a toilet.
Yes, I think I didn't know it happened a while back, but I think she just played it yesterday or the day before, because I noticed people started reaching out to me on the website again. And one of my friends took a screenshot. She's like, you're on TV? I said, yeah, that's been a while. So I think she replayed it, but it was fun. It was actually fun.
Good for you. Actually, I love it because it's just bringing publicity to what you're doing, and you're doing some cool stuff too with the tools and tiaras. But I thought it was pretty cool to get Drew Barrymore to fix it. And she broke the chain on the toilet when she was trying to fix it. And you're like, it's okay. The new flapper's got one already. I was like,
it's okay, girl. I'm used to it. You just, you know, take a moment. I got you. Yeah.
You did good. That was fantastic. And I love it because you were on it. Like, you owned it. It was fantastic. So it's cool watching that. So real quick, what we try and do is let the listeners kind of get to know you. Or we ask a couple questions so they can get to know you on maybe a personal level. And so these are three simple, easy questions that we'll ask. First one being, if you could have dinner with anyone, alive or dead, who would it be?
That's a good one, because he's a couple. But I would say Bob Marley. Oh, my gosh. Everything about his lifestyle, the music, his philosophy. He would be one of them. I would love to have
every little thing.
It's gonna be all right. I don't. Yeah,
beautiful.
Don't worry. I know you know that one, Kyle. I love it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, so then you can't. That's you can't. We can't use that answer for my next question. Then. So.
Okay.
Actually, what? Okay. So I love to ask these questions about what someone's entrance song would be. So you know how, like, if you've watched boxing, if you've watched Rocky, or you've watched UFC or whatever, and they come out and they've always got their like theme music or their entrance song that they come out. So if you know, if this is you're coming out for a fight, because you've probably been fighting for a long time being a female in the trades, you come out, you got 4'11" and 7/8" Judalyn Cassidy rolling out there, what would your entrance song be?
My entrance song is really always going to be a reggae song. I love this artist called Chronix, and he has a song about, a warrior, like, we coming out. So Chronix, I've actually played that song like twice coming up on stage.
Chronix?
Yeah, that's Chronix. Yeah, Chronix. He's almost like the modern day Bob Marley.
Yeah, we'll find it.
Yeah.
We're going to find
it. He's awesome. Yeah, okay. That's
all right.
The guy.
I can dig that.
You're already my favorite guest, by the way. We can just rack it. Read the reviews, Chris.
Last. So
good. Yeah, I love Chronix, because he the music that he says is all similar to Bob Marley, about life, about being connected to the earth, being connected to people we want. It's like everything that I believe in. So
love it. So this one is our last one I'll ask.
Okay.
What? I think I know the answer. And Paul, I told you the answer ahead of time, so you can confirm or deny if I was correct.
Okay.
What is your favorite tool to use?
I would say my favorite tool is a torch.
Son of a God.
Chris said the pipe. Yeah,
I know he was thinking pipe wrench blower. I know he was thinking that.
He's offended.
No, I wasn't offended. I love the wrench. But the guys make fun of me when I take pictures with wrenches. They're like, but you always braze it. Like, why do you take pictures with wrenches? Yes. So I braze a lot. I braze and solder a lot. That is my, that's my jam. That's like, I got the track marks.
I'm not a player. I just braze a lot.
I'm going to use that on the job now.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Jobs don't have genders, right?
Favorite
jobs don't have genders. Okay. Hey, listen, let's get into your story. Okay. Cause I want everyone that's listening to understand, you know, why Julian is giving you his praise, why Drew Barrymore is like, yo, you're the best at teaching me how to change a flapper in my toilet. But also, you've been in this game a long time, and I would say arguably a pretty crazy market in New York City. And I know Paul's like dying to get into, mafia questions just because of the union stuff. But listen, you're sworn, like, you can only say so much, Paul. You know this.
He knows this.
But tell us your story. Like, how did you end up getting into the trades? Like, let's talk about that for a second, because I think you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, but was it in 95 that you entered into Plumbers Local Union Number 1 in New York City?
Yes, I did. But prior to that, I actually, in Trinidad and Tobago, I wanted to be a lawyer and Wonder Woman.
A lawyer and Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
kind of wanted the same.
You know, that's what I was thinking. So I didn't grow up with my mother or father. I grew up with my great grandmother. She was my guardian. And once I finished in Trinidad and Tobago, our education is similar to England. So it's like primary school, secondary school, university, and then you may go to England to study. But when I finished secondary school, wanting to be a lawyer, I couldn't afford to go to university because she passed away. So the next best option was the trades. So at the trade school, I had a choice between electrical and plumbing. And I said, plumbing, you get wet. Electrical, you get shock. Plumbing, here I come. And seriously, I'm not even lying. That's how I chose plumbing. And I chose it also because I knew a lot of the women who grew up really poor, was going to go after the sewing, tailoring, culinary arts. What else they offered? There was a lot of, I would say careers that were driven, secretarial, that kind of stuff. And I knew if I took the gamble and apply for what my brothers, was doing, I would have a better chance of getting picked. So it was also logical too.
Got it.
Strategic, because I'm very strategic.
Well, it worked out. It panned out.
Yeah. So that's how it actually started in Trinidad and Tobago.
Got it. So then talk us through the transition to the States.
So I got married really, really young. Don't do that. I'm 19 years old. And my husband and I, we moved to the United States of America. But I didn't get back into plumbing right away. I was a babysitter, a nanny, a personal shopper, all those things before I got back into plumbing. My neighbor who lived next door to me remembered that I told him that I went to school in Trinidad and Tobago for plumbing. But back then in the 90s, it was really hard for African-Americans to get into construction. Buildings were being built in their neighborhoods, but wasn't being part of the job site. So I think what he did was told them, because they formed something called a coalition, where they would go to job sites and demand jobs. So he told them he had a plumber, but he didn't tell them it was a woman. I showed up in the job site. I pulled up in my Jeep, and for a little backstory, because I'm very colorful, I'm a trades worker, we love telling stories. I actually, in my Jeep, even in my current vehicle, I sit on a cushion and I look really tall. So I pull up to the job site and I push the button and I come down and I can see all the guys looking like, what the hell is going on? So I pull up to the job site and now I open the door. Now I come down, I open the door and I can see their faces like, what the hell is she doing here? So I go up to the guy and I said, I am the plumber. He said, get the F out of here. There's no way you could be the plumber. I was like, yeah, I'm the plumber. I said, here, what are we going to do? Because remember, I said I wanted to be a lawyer and I have a law and order degree, law degree. So I watch a lot of Law and Order, so I definitely have a degree in that.
That took me a moment. I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
So is my mother-in-law. So is my mother-in-law.
So right. I negotiated with him and I said, listen, here's what we can do. I can work today, right? And if I don't work out and I don't give you 100, you don't have to pay me. But if I work out, you know, at least you gave me a chance and you'll see what I can do. Of course, being a man, he had to win this challenge. And he took me up on it, and the rest is history from there. Like, I proved myself. And he was like, this girl knows her. That's my favorite word. Like, so I say you that a say lot. I can say it. Okay, good.
Let it out.
On my podcast, I don't, because the little girls listen.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't.
This one's a little different. You can fire away.
Yeah. So, So I was like, yeah, that's why I was. And that was it. He said, wow, she knows her shit. And the company, Dual Plumbing and Heating, kept me. And what they did was, you can work for them for like a year, and you considered, it's a slang, you considered green. Mm-hmm, and right. then you show up every single day, you put the work in, you know what you're doing, they send you down to the union to get in. So I got sent down with all my other coworkers, my awesome brothers, and they took every single one of them. And my turn, I walk into the office, I see Mr. Kemp, I saw Mr. Burke, some of these guys, like, I know them now, but
these are the head of the
trade, yes, for the well, for the education department, for the apprentices. And they looked at me, and you got to remember, this is a long time ago, you know, people get offended now, but back then it was different. He said, what are you doing here? You better go home and do dishes, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, I could laugh now, but I went into my car, because you don't cry in front of them. Mm-hmm. I went into my car, into my Jeep that I told you about, and I cried. And then I said, you know what? I just go back to the job and make my money. I'm making good money. And I went back to the job site and I kept working. And this amazing superhero of a man called Brian Totoro, he's my hero. He gets embarrassed when I talk about him, but he really is. So back then with the union, it was really hard to get in. So he spoke to someone that spoke to another someone that spoke to another someone. And I became one of the first women in the Staten Island local in New York City, 371 before we merged. And that's how the world's feminist plumber began.
That's super cool. Cool story.
What are the implications of not being in the union versus that breakthrough of becoming part of the union? Like, what was the upside for you?
Yeah, there's a lot of upsides. So first of all, as you mentioned earlier, Chris, that I'm 4 feet 11 and 7/8. So the guy who is 6 feet, we both get the same paycheck. So as a woman of color, he gets a dollar, I get a dollar. It brought me into the middle class. I went from not having health insurance to having health insurance for my family. I went to having a 401k plan, pension, really, really good salary, able to buy a house and do all the things that I dreamed of coming to this, coming to America, this great place. So that's the big difference. Like, it really is a game changer. And what I love about the union, we have a lot of things we need to change, but what I love about it is I can leave for 6 months, a year, and come back and never have to negotiate for my salary. Boom. Yeah, that's the best part.
I love watching you. I wish everyone could see her facial expressions as she describes like that moment of like drop the mic. So it's so good.
It really is. It really is. It's a game changer.
So how has the union changed over the years? That was in the mid 90s when you joined?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. It was. Yeah. It's changed a lot. So it's changed a lot and it hasn't changed in certain things. So there's a lot more women in the business. So years ago, I used to be the only woman on a job site. And mm-hmm. then it went to me being the only plumber. And then there's electrician, a carpenter, millwrights, like different women. To now actually being on a job site where I am working alongside female plumbers and apprentices. So that has changed a lot. And I also see the acceptance of the men. A lot of them see me as their equal in the sense of me loving my craft just as much as them. But then I also see where they still love the fact and treat me like I'm a woman. I don't know if that makes sense. You know, so I'm able to, you know, through difficulties and fighting for where I am to see the change. And then the things I would love to see change is to see more women in general as foremen, supervisors, union office. Those are the changes I would love to see, but it's changed a lot.
So I have this misconception, maybe it's not a misconception, so maybe mm-hmm. you can enlighten me, that the unions really run New York City, whether it's the trash union or the plumbers union. Like, if you guys went on strike, the city kind of shuts down. Is that kind of a reality?
It's kind of a reality and true, but not as much anymore, because we have all the big union towns, it's getting harder and harder. So like New York City, Chicago, it's getting a lot harder because there's a lot more non-union and a lot of deregulation. So before, if you had to build a really huge building, you had to get cranes and get people to operate them and they had to be union. So a lot of it is changing, but I know some people don't believe in unions. There's good in everything. And one of it is they set the scale for everybody else. Like people don't know that. Like they set the scale, vacation, all the holidays and stuff that we have. It's because of union workers, the 8-hour days and stuff like that. So it's a lot. It's a lot that they do. So it could be shut down.
So I've been there. I've been able to go to New York City quite a bit. We have mm-hmm. we have customers in New York City. But what you kind of talked a little bit about this on what's like kind of being a female tradeswoman in New York City. You said mm-hmm. something that I think is amazing to hear. Almost like you earned your respect, the respect on the first job site because of what you said, your craft. Like,
yeah.
You're not looking at it as like, oh, I'm just a plumber. Like, you're saying, this is my craft, this is my skill set, this is what I'm good at, and you earned respect in it. And in a way, like you being one of the first women accepted into the, you know, I think it was 371. Kind of is a paving the way a little bit for others. Is that fair to say? I mean, for other females?
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, I'm the type of person, I'm such a go-getter that I just do stuff and I do stuff and I never sit to reflect on the things that I've done. And it's only recently I started to try to look back and embrace some of the amazing things that has happened to me. And yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, to see women reaching out to me on Instagram, or to have a young girl, she's on Instagram called the Plumbing Princess. She has a lot of followers and stuff, but she said her father showed her a video of me, and that's why she decided to become a plumber. Or I'm walking in the street in New York, and a girl is like, Judalyn, I'm
that's
like,
so who's cool.
this girl called? And yeah, and she says, oh my gosh, I became a plumber because of you. So in a way, it's really hard for me to sit when people say cool things like that, but I'm starting to learn to appreciate that I am part of letting more women see that this is a possibility. Like, you can do this. So,
well, that's good for you. Cool. I love the perseverance. I love all that comes along with this story. So, congratulations on that. So then this, let's talk about the segue into tools for the Tools and Tiaras. It is like, when did all that start to come about? And maybe actually let's do this. Let's talk about what it is and then kind of mm-hmm. like, and then how it, like when you started to do all that. I mean,
So Tools and Tiaras is a nonprofit organization that I started. The whole idea was to really, for me, I believe that tradespeople build America and we are superheroes, and yo, we need all the high fives and all the praise.
Essential, like, business,
that's
baby.
Me. Yeah. Okay. That's me. I am that group of people. We build this country and we continue to do it. And I felt like we parents and society gave us this bad thing about the blue collar, and make their kids think that if you decided to be a plumber or electrician, you was not smart enough to go to college. And I wanted to change that. And I also wanted to change the amount of women who are in construction. Like, a lot of people don't know that number since 1970 has been 3%. It just went up recently to 3.5%. So I think logically, like, where should I start to make the changes that I want to see? And I thought it would be with the girls, so that they grew up being fearless and knowing that they can do this. So that's kind of like why I started it, Tools and Tiaras, because I wanted the building trades to have almost like a rebranding or a rebirth of, like, we are awesome. Do not hide it under the bushels. Everybody should know that we rock. Like, that was it. Kind of like my passion for it. That's how that started.
And when was that?
In 2017. So in 2017, I've always wanted to do something like this because I grew up not having any self-confidence or loving myself. But when I became the world's most awesomest plumber, yo, that shit changed. I walk around like I own everything, and that's because everybody needs me more than they need a lawyer. I'm just saying, like, they need a plumber more than they need a lawyer. So that shift happened.
Sometimes, yeah.
And I was like, what? Imagine if little girls felt like this all the time, like all the time knew their worth. So in 2017, I was speaking at a makers conference. And at the conference, in my speech, I said that you should give a girl a tool and a tiara, which is giving up confidence, independence, and most of all, power. And I put the fist up.
Yep.
And when I said it, the universe said, you know that thing that you want to do for girls, you got to go do it. And now I'm having the conversation in my head, like, you know that I could only do everything that I do full throttle. I can't half-ass it. Like, and I know it's going to take a lot of my time. And I was like, yeah, just go do it. So I left the conference. I came back and I Googled how to start a nonprofit. And I've been running a nonprofit in Google ever since. And that's kind of like, no, that's honestly the truth. So like, I really like research everything that I need to, how to figure it out. And I feel like I grew up in the era where I went to the library for everything and I had to check a book out to get information. So I pretty much did that and just funded it for a long time with my own plumber's salary. Good thing plumbers make good
that's
money.
That's right.
So for a long time it was funded with my plumber's salary. I had two cars. I had a Jeep and I had a BMW 330 XI. So I named my cars Vin and Diesel because I got a crush on him. So I had to sell one and I sold it so that I could have the first camp in 2017. I picked up bottles on the construction site, like everything possible to make this a reality. And that was the birth of Tools and Tiaras.
I can barely do my job right now. I'm just in love with all of this right now. Like, the obvious disparity in the industry or in the industries and the trades is obvious to everyone, but everyone's talking about it. No one's doing anything about it. And what's interesting is, like, as you seek to solve this problem, this is the part where I get teared up. You're not just like solving a labor problem that everybody's complaining about. Like, you're solving a human problem, right? People believing in themselves and feeling good about themselves and having confidence and having options and not being told a narrative because of they were born in a certain place or born with certain like preconceived notions. So I'm in awe of you. Tell me more about the movement, like the change you're trying to create, the camps. Like, what are you, how is this coming together and how are you going to take that 3.5% to where you think it should be?
So I try to work with a lot of different companies and partner with a lot of people. And we start in Tools and Tiaras chapters, and I have the podcast. That's one of my reasons for doing the podcast. I just want to share the amazing people in the building trades. But I could see the difference. So now it's been 4 years. Some of the girls are repeat campers and monthly workshop girls, and they bring their friends. We have girls now. There was one young lady, I was chosen for CNN Champion of Heroes. So if you want to see that episode, there was a beautiful young girl, Tanzera. Her parents wanted her to be a doctor. Her brother's studying to be a doctor, and she was on the path to do that. And she came to the camp, and now she's an engineering student studying engineering. This summer, she's going to get an internship with a company that we worked with. So we have somebody doing that. We have a young lady doing that. We have Samantha. We exposed her to female pilots and auditor technicians that fix the plane for JetBlue. And now she's going to be a pilot. She's actually, she reached out to me. I thought that was amazing to write her a letter of recommendation. And now she's going to go to summer camp and studying to be a pilot. We have Penelope. We have so many of the girls now that are saying Autumn, that are saying like, now I know I have more options that I can do this. So I think it's only 4 years. And we already see this. And I think the more that I do this and the more that I change the imagery of what even companies ask me to speak. And sometimes they don't realize that, you know, that they not even seeking the people that could change the industry. Like, for instance, like if Brian, this amazing man, had looked at my immigrant status, my accent, my color, and just only saw that, I wouldn't be where I am. He saw me as he saw himself. And to this day, we are really good friends. And he didn't just get me into the union, he brought me into his family. So I think like this change is going to continue if more and more people say, we rock, and we got to start letting our kids know that these options are viable, lucrative. And man, I want to move to Panama, and I want to move to Alaska, which is really kind of weird, being an island girl, right? Want to go to Alaska, and everybody totally laughs at that dream. But I can have a job as a plumber wherever I decide to go. So that's where I see the movement happening. More and more people, more and more companies, more and more parents saying, this is good. This is a good thing. $100,000 plus a year with no college degree, no debt. Yo, this is it. This is the next nirvana, I think.
I love it. So you're solving it at the core, which is so admirable. Many of our listeners are listening today and they're running a business and they're realizing like, wow, it's like 95% men in my company.
Yeah.
How do they change their mindset and how do they even, you know, get maybe not younger women, but like maybe mid-career women to consider an option in the trades? What's that look like?
So I really believe that the companies have to make the shift. Like they have to see that if you have a market, just a story, there's a woman in YouTube that didn't know anything about plumbing. Mm-hmm. And for religious reasons, and I know I experience this a lot, since I'm on TV and a lot, I get a lot of women wanting me to do plumbing for them, right? The market, women do 51%, you know, we're 51% of the population. Mm-hmm. We do almost all the home purchases.
Yeah.
That's your market. Imagine if you had somebody in your company looking like your target market, how much money would make? Like, let's just forget that it's the right thing to do. Shit that shit. Let's go with some like dollars. Like, let's go with money. Let's talk money. You know how much money you would make? Like, I get women all the time DM me to do plumbing for them, right? They would be more comfortable and they would spend more money to have somebody looking like them. So that's who you got to target. Reach to the high schools. Advertise in the laundry room. Our business is a hands-on training opportunity. Like you can teach someone how to do this. Yeah. If someone has grit, they show up. Well, I tell everybody in construction when I talk to the young people and I show them my paycheck, I said, don't get fooled by that, but you have to be a person who show up, right? You could teach them the trade. So just think about that. Your next best employee looks like Judalyn. I mean, she may not be as cute, but definitely.
Well, I know if you walked, if my wife called to have a drain cleaned and I wasn't home, yeah, and you walked in there, I'd be in trouble. Like every flapper would be replaced. Every drain would be cleaned. I'd have a new hot water heater. Like, I'm like, what? Why'd you buy all that? Because the connection, no, we would, right?
Yeah, but part of it, we won't do that. That's what happened to a lot, right, of women when men come into the house. They, yes, tell them, they scare them to death. Like, I didn't know that the data shows that the number one thing that women get robbed by is actually plumbing. I was really appalled. But plumbing first, and then the cars. Because we scare women into like, oh my gosh. I taught a class and a lot of women didn't realize that their wedding rings and the engagement ring was in the trap and the plumber stole it. They didn't realize that it goes there and it stays there. So imagine that. Like, just think about the market that you would have if you hired more people that look like me. I think you'll make a lot of money because I turn down work all the time. People ask me all the time, especially when they see me on TV. And of course, I boast that I'm the world's best plumber. So everybody wants my number.
Yeah.
And I have to give it to my brothers because I don't have the time. I actually love passionately. The most committed, I've been in two committed relationships. One is plumbing and one is coffee. And I can't leave plumbing yet. I still just, I get a high just doing it every single day. So I definitely really believe that we could really make this awesome industry and more better than it is by bringing more people in.
So let's talk about your program a little bit. I want to talk about mentorship and just the foundations of the camps. And you mentioned some workshops. You've got camps, workshops, mentorship. What's all that look like?
So the cool thing about what we do is, and which everybody listening, and we've been around 4 years, and people see me on TV and think that we have this big organization, right? But we don't even have a building. So I'm saying this to tell somebody that you can make shit happen with like nothing. So for 4 years, I run a nonprofit and do the workshop in the back of my car, like, and mm-hmm. partnering with other people. So we have free monthly workshops where women and their daughters could come together and learn plumbing, electrical, engineering, tiling, auto mechanic, iron working, robotics. I just keep going
because it's you bring people in. Yes. A lot of other. Yeah.
So I teach the plumbing, but I get amazing tradeswomen to come in and teach all of the other things besides plumbing. So we do that on a monthly for monthly, and in COVID kind of like changed that. And then in the summertime, we have an all-girls construction skills camp where the girls come for a week, Monday to Friday, and they learn the same thing. They learn architecture. We always start off with architecture because the architects build everything. They learn sheet metal, HAVC, I mean, all of those things. And not only do we give them tools and tell them build a world and just go crazy. No, not go crazy, because I don't want the parents to think that I just let their daughters go wild. No. I know, but because we teach them, you'll have little videos, you'll see them saying, what's the number one rule? Safety first. I teach them well. But we teach them all of that. But we also teach them something called, in our programming called TOOLS, Total Ownership of Life Skills. So we teach our girls self-defense. We teach them finances. We teach them meditation. And we teach them other things so that they can have an all-round ability to be awesome in the world. So that's what we do with the girls. So COVID happened last year and we shut down the camp. But then a couple of people who helped me pushed me to say, all right, let's do virtual. And once they said, do that, I'm dyslexic and I love solving puzzles. So I love to deconstruct. So I was like, how can I make this work? So we actually did all of those same workshops by mailing the girls those projects. And every day at a certain time, they came on and we did it virtually. But what happened with that, it taught us to pivot, but you know, also that Tools and Tiaras didn't have to only be in New York City and New Jersey. We had girls participate in California, Chicago, different places. So this year, we're going to come back with the in-person in New York and also the virtual. So girls all over the country can participate.
Got it. And what about mentorship, kind of ongoing nurturing of these students that you're meeting?
Yeah. So the part about mentorship, what we do is we actually, I'm one of those people, I don't believe we should try to help the people that we want to help without getting them involved. Yeah. So we have a youth advisory board, and the youth advisory board kind of like guides us where we need to go. And then we expose them to different things, like I said, not just the trades, so that we can track them and give them the skills and the partnerships that we have formed to help them along the way.
Got it.
That's kind of like how we do the mentorships with the girls.
So what's your long-term, I mean, you've kind of shared your vision, but how do you like mobilize this and scale it throughout the country or throughout the world? Are you thinking that big?
Oh yeah, I'm a big thinker.
Of course. I can tell.
I'm a big thinker, but I'm also a big thinker. I see, I stand on the rock and I see everything, but then I learn how to deconstruct so I can get where I need to go. So we already started our chapters, because what ended up happening since we started Tools and Tiaras, the biggest request that we had gotten was for mothers and fathers all around the United States, Poland, Africa, India, wanting us to have a Tools and Tiaras chapter. So that's what we're rolling out. That's the big vision, getting the chapters going. And I like to start small because I like to be able to, I always deconstruct what I can fix. Like camp, the first year, what could I make better? The second year, and every time it gets better. So I want to have, by the end of the year, the goal is to have one person sign up for one Tools and Tiaras chapters, chapter, and then we could roll out more. So we're right at this moment doing that, rolling out the chapters.
Hey, how cool would it be for you, or maybe at least to me, it seems like it'd be really cool to be able to go back to Trinidad and Tobago and like do something back there, like kind of where it started for you.
Yeah. And a lot of people. So what is really weird, and no, I shouldn't say weird, because I believe in the universe, the source and God. Right. So Tools and Tiaras, people always thought I named it that because I'm from Trinidad and Tobago.
The shortened acronym
is TNT.
Right.
So I would love to go back, but it really was, well, how serendipitous is it that the universe saw it on me to say that in the speech, keep the name. And I didn't realize that it was Trinidad and Tobago until someone shortened and put TNT in an email, because Americans, this is your thing. We love to do that, shorten names. the rest of the world, we hardly ever do that. But then I was like, you know, it's true. Like when I first came to America, I was trying to figure out, how is a guy named William becomes Billy? How does Michael becomes Mike? Because we know there's a guy named Mike,
Richard,
and there's a guy named Michael. So it's a weird, I had to get used to that. So that's when somebody shortened it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is Trinidad and Tobago. It really was even planned. So like you said, that is my goal. I would love one day to have a chapter in Trinidad and Tobago.
Which one did you actually come? Where did you actually live?
I lived in a place called, I lived in Trinidad in a place called Diego Martin. So.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So, cause I know they're split. I've never been, but I've wanted to go.
You should. You don't know what you're missing. If you love food, you should go there. Yeah.
I'm down.
Andrew Bodine.
Food and reggae.
He has a couple episodes where he went there. He just loves the food. It's very diverse. Here comes the.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
It just makes it authentic. Just makes it
okay,
authentic.
Okay, because I was like worried about that. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to.
No, it's all good. So
look. Yes. Yes. So it's very diverse. Our country is known as the melting pot of the Caribbean islands. So we are very, very mixed. We have Asians, we have Black, we have white people. It's really diverse. It's called the melting pot of the Caribbean island.
Got it.
It's known for that.
So, man, that's where it all began. Now let's talk about what does the end of this thing look like? I love whenever I take time to actually sit and think about this, and I feel like my vision is crystal clear. But what do you want your legacy to be? I mean, what do you as like, this is what I want my legacy to be?
I would, you know, I don't know if it's the growing up in the church, it's kind of like hard to think in those concepts, because it's a battle that I'm working on about vanity. It's the thing, but I would just love to know that, you know, if I return to energy and I'm over there and I'm looking down, that I can see, you know, Tanzera, Samantha, Autumn, those girls being change makers here in the US and just changing the way the construction industry look. Like, I would love to look down and know that because of me, and because of me getting a chance to be part of their life, that the construction number has changed from 3% to like 20%, you know, and it's like, it's just so normal. I would just love to know that I was part of that journey. So that would be what I would love to.
I love it. See. I love it. What I think, I can tell like that you're being humble. You're talking about humility. You're actively doing something, which is already better than 99% of any of others, like as a whole, because you actually are stepping up and doing something about it to try and be part of change, if you will, or making a difference in someone's life. And to me, like, that's a pretty cool legacy. If you can shift, if you could change the trajectory of one human being's life, you were that to them, that's exceptional. That's at least, I mean, that's what I think. So,
and that's what I feel. Yeah. I just yesterday, Tanzara called me, and I always tell her she makes me cry. She's like, you know, she said, because of you, a little, I had to take a moment and embrace this because I didn't realize how powerful it was. So we got myself and a couple of the girls from the campers, we got our hands cast by this artist. And in this hand cast, they cast in like a lot of women that I look up to and I'm like amazed by. And they asked me, the plumber, to be in there. And there's a hand cast with my hands with a wrench and a couple of the young girls holding on to the wrench. But what's so amazing about this story is they had the soft, it's going to go all over the country. It's like Hillary Clinton, RGB. But my hands, the plumber, was cast right next to Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That's unbelievable.
That's awesome.
I sat back and I said, please appreciate this. Like, because I don't, I really, I'm getting better at doing that. But when she called me yesterday and said, I would always be part of history because of you, to be in a hand cast art collection with RGB, I was like, okay, now I got to just sit back and say, wow, this is cool. This is awesome. So yeah, that's my goal for this year, to like rock the awesomeness. And it's not because of ego or anything. It's just like, it's different the way I grew up in Trinidad and Tobago and the way that we are. It's a little bit different. So it's like, it's hard. You just always want to push and keep doing more and more and more, but you never take time to sit back and say, I did that shit.
That's right. Yeah, that was, that's right.
I did that shit.
I made it happen. I find it ironic that, you know, who's now our favorite plumber, her favorite word is shit. I think it's funny. I don't know. I think it's cute.
So, well, here was the funny thing, right? So this is honestly the truth. In Trinidad and Tobago, like, we use shit as a conjunction, an adverb for everything. So like we grew up not knowing it to be, like, till I came to America, that people say it's a bad word. So like in China, it would be like, did you see the shit he did? Like, oh shit. Like every sentence. Everything. Yeah. So that's why it's my favorite word, because it's just part of our culture. It just,
you can use it.
It's a word.
Use it all over the place. Lots of different meanings.
So good.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on here so much. I want to make sure I also give an opportunity for our listeners to connect with you, if you wouldn't mind. Cause I know that, you have a couple of different websites, but let's, like, if you could just share with our listeners, what's a good way to connect with you or to get information on you or Tools and Tarot or any of that type of stuff? Like, what, just share some of the contact info.
So this is where I'm going to let my ego, like, go.
You go,
I'm
girl.
Googleable.
Get it.
So I love saying that word. So I'm Googleable. You can Google Chitlin Cassidy. And it's so funny. I could say that now. And when you, a whole bunch of stuff would come up. But you could just put in like Tools and Tiaras and reach out. And you could find out about the camp and getting your daughter signed up. And also, I always say this, like, I don't like writing and I hate emails. And I'm very short. People who know me, like, actually know me, they're like, you don't seem like you want to talk in emails. It comes across like that, but it's the whole dyslexia thing. But a lot of times I really offer mentorship to a lot of women who considering coming into the trade. So if you want to DM me, my DMs are open. You could slide in.
Slide my DMs.
And I will reach back out. I really do. If you put your phone number in there, you're going to get a phone call. If you put an email, you're going to have to wait. It's going to take a minute because I got to figure out how to, you know, start the email and the salutations. And it's a lot.
That's fair.
So it's pretty much like whenever I send my daughter a text message and she replies back with just K.
Yeah, she don't really mean, she might be like a me. I do the same thing. Like, it doesn't mean, don't take it the wrong way.
Well, listen, keep kicking ass. I love it. You're doing some cool shit.
there you go.
I love it.
Definitely reach out.
We'll make sure to share all the content info as well. And and listen, like, keep in touch with us too. I'm curious to kind of see what, you know, I feel like you are, even though been in the trade so long and doing this stuff with Tools and Tarot for a while and having some good success stories, I feel like you're still just scratching the surface. You got a lot of runway ahead of you. So yeah, please keep in touch and I'll love to keep tabs on it. And hopefully this is the beginning of a friendship for us. And if I if I need to slide to the DMs, I'll keep my message short so that way you can reply quickly.
Yes, but you have my phone number, and my number doesn't change. I have the same phone number, so I tell people I'm not changing it. If I don't want to talk to somebody, I just don't answer.
That makes perfect sense. Go. Old school.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
So much.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on here. And again, you know, I love like listening to everybody's stories, and you know, on the podcast too. It's something that Tall Paul and I learned from the beginning was to try and bring value in a couple different ways on the podcast. And it was one, either be educational, or two, be entertaining. And if you can be both, then that's a perfect, you know, perfect storm. And I think anytime you hear a unique background and story and things, it to me, it's entertaining, you know. So listeners, hopefully you appreciated Judeline's story, and reach out to her, man. Don't listen. Like she's just said, she told you exactly how to respond to her and how to get connected with her and how she'll respond back. So she's pretty much opened it up. I have a feeling that you might have just got a best friend for life in Tall Paul, because I have a feeling at some point in time you're going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, fixing something on his house that didn't even need to be fixed.
That didn't need to be fixed. Right. And hey, I'm going to be your favorite person. Guess what my son's name is? One of my sons.
What's his name?
It's Irie. And no one knows why. No one knows what that means, but you know what that means.
I know what that means. And you know what? I work in the buildings, and every time I tell the guys, like people that, and they're like, what do you mean? I said, just be Irie. Just chill. Just relax. Just, it's a good vibe. It's all vibrations. I love that name.
Booyah.
Yes. No, he's an awesome name. That's a powerful name.
It is. Irie. And he is all those things. So that it worked out, thankfully.
Nice. Oh, my. Definitely. I hope you're on Instagram. I'm going to stalk you.
He is. You'll be best friends with his wife, Corey, in no time, too. So.
Okay, good. Great. Well, again, guys, thank you so much for this opportunity. I really had fun talking to you and both you. It's a really fun podcast, and just keep on doing this amazing podcast. It's fun. I love this. This is one of the best ones I've been on because you guys are fun.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that so much.
No, it really is.
I appreciate that so much. That's super cool. Well, I mean, part of it's you made it fun for us. Thanks for sharing your story with us too. I want to give a quick shout out as I was sitting here thinking through this while you're talking. I don't know that I've ever done this before on a podcast. I think we're 70 some odd episodes in.
Nope, here we go.
No. Listen, I just want to give a shout out to some of our female listeners that I know listen to this thing on a consistent basis. So I'm going to give a shout out to my wife because she's also in the trades, but she does not listen to our podcast because she listens to us enough as it is. But to give a quick shout out to a few females, Charlene Ierna, have been a guest on here before, E.B. Gamero, Cassie Pound, Leslie Harpole, Jennifer Larson, Dana Hoddle, CNC up in Detroit, Jennifer Larson, and Buffy Busick. I don't know I know they're going to hear this thing beginning to end, so if I just said your name, now you know I'm paying attention to you, okay? I just gave you a little shout-out. I know that you wanted to hear some good female guests on this episode, and you just got a banger out of Judeline. So, hey, again, thank you so much for listening. We are super appreciative of that. And again, I always try to close this thing off with the review, and I'm going to read one of those. This one is from Brett from Home Comfort Services. We probably should have found a female one for this one. That'd have been a little bit more fitting.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Brett from Home Comfort Services, 5 stars, and it just says mentoring, Paul, is the title of this one. And it says, when a technician begins his or her career. Okay, there we go.
Worked out. I like Brett.
When a technician begins his or her career in the trades, they are paired with a senior technician to guide and mentor them. As an owner of an HVAC company, we're often left to figure it out the hard way. The To The Point podcast has allowed me, it cut off. I don't know what the rest of it says. So it's cut off. All right. Well, I guess that's all you get.
I saw that coming like a freight train, Chris. I was like, man, it didn't print.
Hey, maybe next time we could actually put the whole review on here so I can read it versus part of it. So I guess what? Now you got to go to the reviews and try and find it yourself and read it and then reply to me and let me know. And then while you're at it, go ahead and leave a review yourself. Unless you thought the podcast sucked, then just forget about it. Just move on. Don't leave anything. All right. On that note, I am out of here. Until next time, listeners, we appreciate you so much. We'll see you. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a Rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe, and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, We have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.